Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Thank you for spending this time with us. I just imagine you sitting there listening or driving in your car, and we're going to take a moment and just focus on God. The title of our devotion today is Grits and God, and our verse is Luke 21:19. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. And we can apply that principle to so many things, but the most important thing is the lives of our children. If you endure, and this is found in Luke 21:19, by endurance, you will gain your lives. You'll gain your own life and the lives of the children that God has given you. Want some grits with some eggs? The word grits doesn't sound all that appealing, but in Southern diners, the very mention of them gets the stomach to growling in a good way. Regular grits are either white or yellow, with yellow grits being a bit sweeter and white grits offering up a subtle velvety flavor. Southerners like their grits served swimming in butter with syrup or in the form of cheese grits, which are basically grits with buttery, heavy cream cheese and a sprinkling of crisp, crumbled bacon. Bacon bits in my case. There's more than one way to prepare grits, and there's more than one meaning of the word grit. Take the expression true grit, for instance. A person with true grit is someone who perseveres through challenges and sticks to their guns regardless of failures or setbacks. They passionately follow after their goals with unwavering courage and purpose. Faith check. A man or woman with true grit is a person of indomitable spirit. Who fits that profile in the Bible? Noah is one. He continued building the ark for over half a century while everyone mocked him. Abraham and Sarah believed God's promise that Sarah would conceive and bear a child at 90 years old. Moses went back to a stubborn Pharaoh again and again with the same demand, "Let my people go." And Jesus followed through on the plan of salvation, though it cost him his own life. And I'd like to point out that he actually was stressed out. Sometimes you will be stressed in this world. Jesus was highly stressed, so much so that the small capillaries broke and he sweat. His sweat was tinged with blood. Our saying today is by John Wayne, and it says, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Well, I'm going to pray that each one of us can have the courage. You know, sometimes the courage to go to that spouse and say, look it, you aren't treating me very nice, and I know I'm not responding in a nice manner. I'm making a commitment that I am going to be courteous to you, and I'm going to do the very best that I can by you. Just that takes a lot of perseverance, doesn't it? We just have to pray for God for that ability. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on our show today. We ask for those marriages that need our perseverance in them, that we will have true grits, that we will persevere and follow every dictate that you've laid on our hearts to do. We pray for that mother who has to go each day and homeschool her children, or the father. One of the parents might have to go every day out to work and persevere. Whatever our hand finds to do, Lord, may we do it with all of our might. And Lord, I continue to pray for our country and our leadership. So many of us are really struggling, and we need your help, Lord, and your guidance. And you have promised, and we thank you for that. So all this I take before the throne of God, and I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! I just love the idea that our outdoors can be our best classroom. And I'm trying to look at things that you can have your students do where you don't have to be supervising them. You can just say, go outside and do such and such, just as we did with, you know, building a river outside or making a nest, those kinds of things. And today I just want to talk about sending your child outside with some paper or not. It doesn't even need to be paper. You can just ask them to do it on the sidewalk or on the porch, and they write their name, or they can write something else besides their name, but they write with using things just from nature, like dandelions, pieces of fern, stick, grass, and then have them call you when it's done. And you'll just take a picture of it and throw the stuff out in the compost pile, and you're done with it. What a cool thing to do. You can go to my Pinterest site. There's a picture of it there if you want to see it in my forest classroom. The call numbers are MRGamblin2. And just have fun learning. In our curriculum corner today, we're going to discuss a little bit about the universal design of learning when it comes to content subjects. Now, you understand there are skill subjects and there are content subjects. For example, in multiplication, my child needs to learn the skill of being able to multiply. And sure, I can have them learn it on all different kinds of venues. I can have them do online flashcards and paper flashcards and relay races and other types of multiplication games, but they have to learn that skill. And once they learn that skill, the way they show me that they know it is that they can say their multiplication tables, they can work with them in math, and they know that skill. The other kind of subject, the content subject, would be something like history or social studies. And in there, when I'm looking at the universal design of learning, I want them to learn content. I want them to learn meaning behind these words that we're studying. I want them to understand time and how it relates to history. I want them to understand different peoples and geography and that kind of thing. So those are more content-driven subjects. And with a content-driven subject, there might be many ways that I present the material. You can just brainstorm with your children, like, how do you like to learn history? Do you like it to be video-driven, story-driven? Do you want to read a textbook? Do you like filling out worksheets? I mean, there are students who really love worksheets. So don't discard the worksheet, but just add all the other different ways of learning. For example, when I teach a history class, I like it to be video driven. But the components that go along with that is we're going to read some of the actual documents. We look for primary sources. And then I want them to show me what they know. They can show it through PowerPoint. They can show it through video. They can show it through a paper that they might choose to write. So there's lots of different ways that they can show me the content that they've learned. And hopefully along the way, we've all learned it as we've had it shared with us. It's a great tool. So as you think of developing your curriculum, think of those subjects that are skills driven and those subjects that are content driven. That concludes my curriculum corner. Today's question is pretty interesting. It talks about the dilemma that this family is having. I homeschool two girls, and I have a little boy who will begin homeschooling this coming year. My girls, I homeschooled from pre-K on. Now one's going into the eighth grade, and one's going into the third grade. Well, my little boy is really rough around the edges, and he doesn't act like he knows how to respond to other kids. He's so loud, and he's really hard to handle at times. I wonder what you think about putting him into a public pre-K. Well, here's, you know, coming from someone, I actually teach in a very small Christian school with about 15 students. That's my tent making so that I can provide this programming free to radio stations, and I don't get paid for anything. I'm not endorsed by anybody. And so my advice is totally free too, and you can always take it for whatever it's worth. My advice is that since I actually deal with parents who have some children that they're homeschooling at home and others that they're sending to my school, you really do have to prayerfully consider what is best for the child. I know I was homeschooled through the 10th grade myself, and I hated it. I really hated being at home and being alone. I wanted the energy of a school group. And so that worked good for me. My parents finally did start sending me to a Christian school when I was in the 11th grade, and I never turned back. At the same time, it's really a good thing. I could really see the blessings in it. So just prayerfully, I know I will never criticize a family that has one child in a traditional school and one child at home. Of course, I prefer a Christian school, but public school, you know, if that's your only option and that's where God's leading you, then we won't be critical of that either. Well, that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. So in the second half of our show, we're going to continue an interview that we had before, or that we began, with Brenda Crouch. She's written a book called Fight Forward, Reclaiming the Real You, and it's an inspiring story of overcoming the lies of abuse. And I know you'll want to stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
How does a creationist's theory differ from an evolutionist's?
Basically, creationists believe God designed and spoke into existence all forms of life. Evolutionists teach that life happened by chance. Scripture indicates that people have inhabited our world for a few thousand years. Our evolutionist friends place man's beginnings millions of years ago. But before you dismiss the evolutionary theory as useless to the Christian, consider that in some areas, they're correct. People and animals do evolve in many ways. There are creatures who've adapted to new environments by changing the way they live and even how they look. Check out the different breeds of dogs and different nationalities of people. Their skin colors, physical shapes, and sizes all differ. These are the result of the evolutionary process all living beings experience. But as Bible-believing Christians, we know that God, not chance, set these adaptive processes in motion. Our treasure chest has this to say: for by God all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, NIV.
Well, I believe in God and the Bible.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Welcome, Brenda. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for talking to us about a topic that was so taboo, and recognizing that, you know, both the perpetrator and the victim need the reclaiming love of Jesus Christ. That's just, that's so powerful. Now, psychologists often handle it from a more humanistic point of view. Did you go through counseling, or how did you begin your journey of reclaiming the real you?
Yes, and I did, and I believe that good, wise, biblical counsel is so important. But, you know, we can't just throw scriptures at people and think that's going to do the job and heal them. Because, you know, people like myself at that point in my life are trying to navigate these, what I call landmines, in relationally speaking. My relationship dynamics were horrible. I had no clue how to even have boundaries to, and self-respect. And so, and I really believe that this stemmed from just what I refer to in my book as a hijacked identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the scriptures say that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And, you know, it is through ignorance and deception that we even fall prey. I would never have fallen prey to some of these things had I seen them coming. But we, you know, unwisely and very ignorantly, for lack of knowledge, walk into sometimes abusive relationships, and because we have codependency or, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, you know, I was in a very abusive marriage, physically abusive, verbally abusive, all the different types of abuse. And those, you know, leave not just bruises on your physical body, but bruises on your soul. And that you become so fragmented and full of self-doubt, because all that's reinforced is your shame in those kinds of relationships. And it's just so sad and unfortunate. But there has to come a point where a person says, you know what, God made me for more than this. And God would never expect me to submit to abuse when my life is being threatened. I mean, I had loaded guns held to my head on several occasions. And there were just, and I don't like to focus on those things, because I'm not saying, oh, poor me. My whole message is that we don't have to be a victim. We don't have to think like a victim, but that takes some hard work. So we do need those mentors and those counselors to help us, point us in the direction of what does that look like? And we need the Word of God to transform us from the inside out, so that we are finding our identity in our Creator.
Yes.
And learning who we are.
So the first step, I mean, so you went from a shattered self-esteem as a child, teenager, into an abusive relationship. So what was your first step out? You're fighting forward. What's that first forward step?
Well, ironically, Dr. Rose, my step out was, I say that my gift was my unraveling, because I had built up this kind of glamorous image of what I thought would be lovable. And, you know, I came out of the pageants and entertainment world and was involved in a lot of music ministry. And so I had this persona that I didn't even realize I had built up, knowing that God had given me talents and gifts and I wanted to use those to His glory. I was very sincere. But God did this kind of surgery where He really, it's like He peels the onion back layer by layer, and He puts His finger on the heart and the pulse of what's wrong. And it was His gift to me that I began to unravel in all these areas that I was trying to project, love me because I'm this person. And I wasn't that person. I was the person I had tried to shut down, and I shut her voice down many years ago because I didn't like her. And so God had to walk me through the stages of learning to embrace and love that little girl before Him, standing in the mirror of His glory. That's where we see who we are, that we're loved and we're accepted, and we are enough because He loves us. And so this was my first step. And then, of course, there's the steps of coming to the understanding of truth and, you know, what is a healthy relationship. And I talk about these steps in my book, and I really lay it out for people to be able to help them walk through this journey as well. And that's what God put on my heart, to help others through my own journey. And I'm just so thankful to be able to do that. He takes our mess and He makes a message.
I think of that old song, He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the broken heart or something.
One of my favorites.
Yes, and he does that. I mean, at the time when we're broken, we don't necessarily think, oh, this is God-inspired. But in the end, we can see where he's taken our brokenness.
Amen.
And made us whole again. And I think that first step has to be a humble, teachable spirit.
Amen.
In other words, it's a humiliating experience that we go through when we're broken. But if we accept that, if we really accept that, God will lead us.
Absolutely.
And so are you still in the same relationship? Did it become a journey for both of you for healing?
It did not. I was very threatened and I had two, which I talk about in the book. Sometimes, you know, and I did give room. I worked very hard at restoring the relationship because I was raised with to value marriage and that, you know, God hates divorce. And that actually kept me probably for too long in very dangerous situations.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, my part of it was even for the healing of my daughter and the protection of my daughter that I had to leave. So that was a very complex and complicated situation in both cases. But I continued to pray for them. I, you know, committed them to the Lord. I believe that there's no one that's beyond the help of the Lord. But they, like you said, have to come to that mm-hmm. place of surrender as well and humility with God to say, I'm ready to stand honest. This is what my father finally did on his deathbed. I'm mm-hmm. finally ready to be honest with you, God.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really receive that forgiveness and understand that forgiveness and the mercy and grace of God until we are honest with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, you know, there is a scripture that says that Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember God giving me that at one time to give me peace because I understood that he's not talking about divorce. He's not saying that. What he's saying is the things because he mentions relationships, but the things in your life and the people in your life that would try to lord over you
mm-hmm.
and demand that you worship and serve them and they
mm-hmm.
want to hold you captive.
Mm-hmm.
That's only God's place.
That's right.
And he will bring a sword to that thing. And so, you know, even if you're staying in a marriage, God can bring a sword to that thing and change the dynamic of that marriage. And I do believe I've seen marriages healed and completely transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk in that, in my relationships, in that kind of grace. But God was so good to me to restore me in a different way. And it would be quite a few years because I had my solo journey of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was very, very important. It's what I refer to as my Ruth journey and just the miracles God did for me of provision. And he was the husband to the husbandless, you know, for me at that time. And he brought my husband into my life, Paul Crouch Jr., who comes from the TBN family, and he and I both had experienced some brokenness in our lives. We had both been battle-hardened, but what God does when he redeems and restores is he brings you together for purpose, and he takes what the enemy meant for harm, and he will turn it and use it for not only our good, but the good of the kingdom. And so, you know, from the word of our testimonies, people can be delivered from their own brokenness and their own pain. That's God's mercy.
Oh, that's such a wonderful testimony. I'm talking with Brenda Crouch. You can go to the website, brendacrouch.com. And we're talking about her personal journey, and it's all down in a wonderful book called Fight Forward, Reclaiming the Real You. Thank you so much for spending this time
with us. Thank you, Dr. Rose.
I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.